In the second
book of Samuel, there's the story of where David, having won various battles, is there and wondering what to do next. And David wants to build a permanent place for God. For God has been, when you look at the scriptures, carried around in an ark, often placed in a tent for these people who are moving around. But now, having won a battle and taken Jerusalem, here he wants to build a temple, a place where God may permanently reside. The story goes that God says, no, this is not for you to do. For you, David, must go about making sure that the kingdom is secure. You must build the kingdom, to make it safe. The temple, of course, was built by his successor, by Solomon, later on. But it seems to me that in that story, there is also a sense of how people saw that nature of God, that they felt that God lived in a box that was carried around, that God could be placed in a building, that wherever that building is, or wherever that box was, there would be God. But our God is not a static God, not a God in a box. For the Israelites, there was often this sense of, unless they had their box with them, their Ark of the Covenant with them as they went into battle, then they might lose. But when they had the God with them in that ark, then they would win. And so this sense of the God that was carried around with them was actually really a very important thing, to think that they could then just situate God in Jerusalem. Well, makes no sense, really, does it? And yet, sometimes that's how we view our own temples, our own buildings. We celebrate them as the places where God resides. And there's truth in the fact that God resides in our buildings. But God is certainly not contained by them. Our God cannot be contained in any place or in any time. We don't know what David's motive was. I mean, when we read the story, it talks about wanting to honour God, but maybe there was something too of his own motive in having a landmark that would bear, if you like, his name as well as God's. But it is not the temple that David is remembered for. But it is his name that is foremost amongst the kings of Israel. For as we read again and again, that one would come greater than David, greater than Solomon who built the temple, but from the line of David, one would come. In Luke, in that reading that we have, that we know so well about the angel visiting Mary, we read again of how this one is to come, this God, into the world in a different way. We read that Mary is to be the new vessel or maybe we should say, the new temple for God. The result would be a new outworking of God's continued dealings with all the people in the world. And in that canticle that we have just shared together, we see what that outworking is to be. It was to be a different kind of kingdom. A kingdom where compassion and justice are the watchwords, where all are treated with dignity as worthy and equal. Rachel Mann wrote a meditation based on that canticle. Let me share it with you. And on that day when I sang, that day when I met Elizabeth, I sang of how my body was full of God, and my spirit rejoiced in the Spirit and all her works, for she was with me in my poverty and in my riches. And I sang of how, even if I am nothing to the power brokers, if to them I am just a woman, just a child, the wild justice of God had blessed me, and holy is her name. And I sang of her mercy, of how her mercy will be lavished on those who dare to rejoice in her awesome love, who dare to oppose the mighty and the greedy from everlasting to everlasting. For she has shown the courage of women and the toughness of mothers and scattered the arrogant and the overbearing. She has upturned the thrones of the powerful and exalted the nobodies. She has fed the starving and has shown her fury towards the mean and selfish. She has remembered her people who walked in the desert. She has remembered our ancestors according to her promises to Sarah and Hagar, Ruth and Naomi, Deborah and Jael, and their descendants forever. It's hard for us to imagine what it might have been to be Mary. And of course, the stories that we have written in our scripture are written after the event with hindsight, not by Mary herself, but by those followers of Jesus who have found in this man one which they call the divine. And it is their reflections that we hear. What might Mary really have thought? One of the carols that we're singing in the carol service at Hove tonight, we're not singing it here in ours, but is one called Mary, Did You Know? I don't know how many of you know that. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Written with the hindsight of hymn writers and songwriters, written in the light of the experience of those who were followers of Jesus, part of the newly built church that grew up. It seems to suggest that Mary was aware of all of these things, yet it seems to me she was just mostly aware of the pain of childbirth and the love that she had for her baby boy. Hindsight tells us this man Jesus was seen as so special, seen as being so full of God, so full of the Christ. And so Mary becomes exalted as the one who has given birth for that, the one who said yes to God's angel, to God's messenger, as she watched her son grow up, as she watched him in adulthood and the things that he might have done and said, and watched his death on a cross, and found that even after his death, there were those who felt that presence of the Christ through Jesus so real that they could only call it resurrection, that they could only carry on following the ways that Jesus spoke of, the specialness of the one she had given birth to would be all too apparent to her. So what about us? Are we wanting to be like David and Solomon, to build our temples, our landmarks on history, our places of worship, magnificent as they are? Or do we feel that we have a different kind of work? A work that is about being people who share in God's kingdom ways. What is it in the lives of our communities that we are drawn to, that become the outworking of those words that we read in the Magnificat, that fight for justice, that sharing with others, that bringing of care into the world? Sometimes in our churches, we get so bogged down, don't we, by our buildings, by our constitutions, by our structures. And yet, that all centers on a place. And we're reminded that David is told to build the kingdom. And that is what we are asked to do too. To build the kingdom of God, to build communities where God's ways are honored, where God's ways are known, where God's ways are exalted high above all others. Mary says yes in the story that we have. Yes to God. We too are asked that question. We too must give our answer, and our answer will be seen by the ways that we live, by the ways that we talk, by the ways that we care and share, by the way that we walk in God's ways, today, tomorrow, and always. May our souls truly tell out the glory of God and God's ways. And so we sing, "Tell out my soul,